always thought this song was written about me. Now I'm a boy. Rachel Toback is with us. She's a competitive hacker and CEO of Social Proof Security. And among the many, many issues, Rachel, that we are all encountering right now, and it's all uncharted territory, it's all brand new, and we're all trying to remain calm during all this, not to panic, to remain calm and see our way through piece by piece. Technology has been very helpful, right? I mean, it's almost like Zoom and FaceTime and all the rest of those things were built for a new way for us to live, where we're not actually seeing each other in person, but we're seeing each other on screens, whether it's in business or family or whatever it happens to be. But there are still all those bad guys out there that may not want to knock you over the head on the street, but they are trying to do that on the internet and steal your information and do all those kinds of bad things. Now, let's talk about Zoom for a second first, because that's been in the news a lot, that there are hackers who've been getting into Zoom and interrupting meetings and things like that. Is there a danger other than the annoyance to Zoom in case somebody gets in?
Yeah, this is something that you're probably going to hear in the news just constantly, Ro. Now, I would say not so much. And the reason why I say that is because Zoom had a really good security update that they put out recently, which basically enabled us to have passwords on by default, which is essential because they had that feature there before, but people weren't using it. And that allowed attackers to either guess the Zoom ID and just show up in your Zoom call and post pornography and slurs and just terrible stuff. But now we have waiting rooms on by default, and we have password protection on by default. And that privacy by design is a really cool innovation and something that we've been calling for in the security community. So I applaud them.
Okay, so when I get onto a Zoom meeting, which I'm on every day on some level, I mean, every day during the show, we have a Zoom meeting that's just so we can communicate back, you know, when the microphones aren't on. I don't see that when I'm establishing that meeting. I just click a thing and I'm on. Is it some sort of passive thing, or do I have to actively engage that?
Yeah, that's the cool thing, is it's passive now. Before, it was really active, and you had to go into your settings and set up password protection and waiting rooms. But now, if your Zoom is up to date, and you might need to update your Zoom software, I'm not sure if you have that, because I haven't hacked you, Ro, I promise. but if your software is up to date, it should run in the background, and you shouldn't even know it's happening, which is the dream.
Okay, so, Rachel, what do you see are the biggest security threats right now on the internet? I know there have been all these phishing scams. I've seen them, and as a matter of fact, I actually fell for one. Yeah, I know. It was so dumb. I went, and it was something about work, and they just seemed to know that my work email, and so there was something about my work email. There were emails that were lost because of Outlook. That whole thing that really did happen.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, we can get them back. Retrieve these that are lost. And then I go to the website, and it's somewhere in Japan, which I knew, all right, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. All right, so what happens there?
Okay, that is a fantastic question. I love this question. So a lot of times, the really big things that are happening on the internet are like not that sexy. Like, a lot of people want me to say like, oh wow, we're like hacking into their machine and it's so wild, like you should see it. A lot of times this stuff is not that wild. Like password reuse, for instance, that thing that hit you, Ro, whenever you clicked on that phishing link in your email, they were trying to capture your credentials, right? So they said your emails have been retrieved or something like that. Click on that link in your email, takes you to a new page. It looks like Outlook, right? And then you put in your username and password, and boom, that username and password combo gets sent to the attacker. Now, what can the attacker do with that? They can take that username and password combo, and they can drop it into your bank account. They can drop it into your phone account, anything, your healthcare. If you reuse that username and password combo, which 52% of people admit that they do in Google Security's latest survey.
Admit that they do.
52% is really high for just people who admit. You're very likely to encounter account takeover. An account takeover is when an attacker can go into your bank, they can drop those credentials in that they got from your phishing email that you clicked on from Outlook, a totally separate thing, and now I have access to your bank, I can filter through your funds, your savings, and see all the things you spend your money on, and I don't want to see all that stuff, right? So what's really good is you have to use separate passwords. I know it's annoying. You can use things like a password manager to store them. Mm-hmm. And you have to turn on multi-factor authentication. Multi-factor authentication makes it such that if I get your credentials and I plug them into your bank, but you have MFA on, maybe you get a text to your phone, maybe you're using a token like a YubiKey, I'm not able to get in because I don't have that stuff. And it really makes my job as an attacker obnoxious. So please do that stuff.
Well, I want to make your day as hard as possible, Rachel Toback,
yes,
competitive hacker and CEO of Social Proof Security. And let's talk about social engineering, because one of the things that I think a lot of people fall for, especially our parents fall for. So I'm a parent of a millennial, and so therefore my parents, when, you know, at a point of being on the internet, this is one that constant, I'm always trying to tell them, please do not do this. If there is a survey or they're asking questions, or it seems like somebody's trying to get information about them. Because I think, you know, as people get a little older, they like to talk about themselves. That started with me when I was very young, but it's still what it is. They want to tell people about themselves. That's very dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The big attacks that we're seeing on folks that are in an older generation are things like an Apple support scam. These are things that have hit, you know, Every friend that I have, someone in their family has encountered an Apple support scam or a Dell support scam or Microsoft support scam, where that person, that attacker, they spoof the phone number. So basically, they use software that makes it look like they're calling from AppleCare, for instance. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for me to do. I can spoof a phone number in 30 seconds. It costs 99 cents. So easy. And I call you, and your caller ID looks like I'm calling from Apple support. And I say to you, hey, you've got this virus. I can get it off for you. All I need you to do is click this link, yada, yada, yada. Okay, what am I doing? I'm installing malware. These are the big things that we see. A lot of times we're trying to take over people's computer. We're trying to blackmail. It's just really terrible stuff. And I'm a white hat hacker. We just call ourselves hackers, not criminals, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do these things, but I mimic these things to teach people how they're done.
So that's the first part. But if people go on and there's a lot of websites, they go to a website and all of a sudden there's a pop-up ad or whatever, and it's take a survey. Who do you want to be president? Or do you want, you know, whatever those things happen to be, whatever that hot button issues are, however they can do, you know, should businesses open up again, whatever those things that there would be questions, you'll click on that survey, and then they're going to want a little bit of personal information about you. Or,
right,
you know, what was your first dog's name? You know, because that kind of information is the sort of information that hackers are using to sniff out passwords, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Unfortunately, we still do see a lot of those silly types of things. And a lot of times they look like ads. So basically, don't click on those types of things that pop up. You don't need to give them your information. And definitely, if you are, if you're trying to build your password to be secure, you want it to be super long as you can possibly make it, and don't make it things that I can find on social media. If I can find out who your favorite sports team is, if I can find out what your kids' names are from Facebook, which I probably can, that should not be your password. Those are things that are not safe.
Yeah. Let's talk very quickly. I've got less than a minute left here, but in terms of companies or you know, bad guys, let's say, whether it's governments or just bad guys in other countries coming after us in a moment like this, because people are at home, there's a lot of confusion, there's using the internet a lot, is this a really big phishing time for them?
It is, yeah. According to the Google Transparency Report, phishing is up 350% since COVID, and Risk ID's research showed that there's 300,000 plus new suspicious COVID-19 phishing websites up since March. So, yes, phishing is up. When criminals lose their other jobs, they got to turn to crime, unfortunately.
Hmm. That's my bumper sticker. All right, Rachel, thank you very much. Rachel Toback, competitive hacker and chief executive officer of Social Proof Security, socialproofsecurity.com.